More music on trendybeats.com.
She loves me when I'm drunk. She loves me when I'm jobless. She loves me when I'm wrong. Even when I don't need love. Yeah, she loves me like damn. Like damn, damn, damn. Like damn, 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 damn. She loves me when I'm drunk. She loves me.
My name is Ursula, and you're listening to A Penny and a Peswa.
Cheap, the one she, every time I try. There ain't nothing like we, and baby, that's why. I'm done with the red flag. Telling all the girls I'm on your side. I'm telling all my boys I'm on your side. Got no your loss on my side. Cause you be my nigga, you be my clothes, you be my water, you be my blood, you be my river, you be my road, you be my fever, you be my code, even when I walk out. She got him my mother, like it down drove, when things matter. She did I'm gone, when things better. She did I'm gone. She loves me when I'm drunk. She loves me when I'm jobless. She loves me when I'm lost. Even when I don't need love, yeah. She loves me like them. Like them, them, them. Like them, them, them. Them, 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 them. I know my show.
Hello everyone, and welcome back to another episode of A Penny and a Peswa. It is your favorite host, Ursula, and today we are talking about the growing Ghanaian creative industry with two of your favorite Ghanaian creators. But before we get into our guests and into today's juicy topic, I just wanted to apologize because it took me a long time to drop this episode, and that is because of technical difficulties. My computer decided to crash, and also I fell sick after. It wasn't coronavirus, don't worry, but I got a little sick after I was able to like fix my computer, so it really caused a delay. And I'm also on campus, so I can't really do things immediately as I would wish, but you know what, it's okay because I am compensating by releasing back-to-back episodes. So expect episode 4 to come out. I know I said that with a question mark, I'm not even sure. Expect episode 4 to come out the week after this week, obviously. And yeah, let's get straight into the episode. Our first guest is the co-founder of Brainstorm Africa, a digital branding agency in Ghana, which helps brands to position themselves strategically in the market so they have a better chance at beating their competition. Our second guest describes herself as a noisemaker and the life of the party. She's a writer and the host of the Room 233 podcast. Please welcome to the Penny and a Peswa table, Mike Lawson and Enjoyment Mommy. Let's dive in. Thank you both for being on today's episode. Ghanaian youth and the creative industry. Before we get into the questions, I want you guys to talk a little bit about your work as a Ghanaian creator or creative. Just a little summary of what type of creator you are, how you're contributing to the creative industry, and etc. So anyone can go first.
Sally.
Why me? Okay. First of all, thank you for having me. This is the second podcast I'm on as a guest. Woo! I'm a star, guys. People are asking me to be guests on their shows. But yeah, thank you. Do I mention my name and all of that? Like, you know, I'm a drama mommy.
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Just to be clear, you're asking what I think about the creative industry right now and how I go about it, right?
No, right now, yeah, we're just asking about your position in the creative industry, what type of creator you are, just so that
listeners
can get a little more background information.
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so I started off as a writer. I had a blog. I started in, I think, 2013, 2014. I don't remember. And I was consistent for about a year, and that kind of died. I tried resurrecting it a few times, but that didn't go as planned. Mm-hmm. I still write, just not as much as before. But now what I do more is podcasting and microblogging on my Instagram. So I hosted the Room 2TT podcast. Room 2TT is on a break now. It might not come back. We'll see.
But I was about to ask because you said you hosted. And I'm like, huh?
Yeah. We're in a transition phase, a major transition phase. So we are revisiting the drawing board and seeing what works and what doesn't. But yes, I hosted the Room 2TT podcast. I am Enjoy My Mommy on Instagram. And so I do like microblogs and IGTV videos. So yeah, I think that's about it.
All right. And Mike, what about you? What type of creator do you view yourself to be? How are you contributing to the creative industry?
Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Michael, and I am currently the co-founder of a marketing agency, Brainstorm Africa, with my co-founder, Nana Yao. And I am a creative. I like to say I'm a creative, even though now I hardly do that. But I've been creating content for other people, for like clients and people I work with, since like 2012. So like I've been doing it for quite a while. And it was only this year that I actually decided to create content for myself, like even for our business and for my personal brand. So then it's now that I've decided to actually take that and like try out on myself to see how best I could like improve my brand perception. So yeah, I think that's what's up right now. Right now I'm more of into putting out content daily on my Instagram and LinkedIn, and I podcast as well. So I'm the co-host of the Brainy Days podcast with, again, my co-founder, Nana Yao. That's what I do. I dabble a bit in some other things as well. So yeah.
All right. I find it interesting that you both started like in the early part of last decade. How old were you both? Mike, how old were you in 2012? And Dreamy Mommy, how old were you in 2014? I'm curious.
It's like 13 or 14.
Wow.
Yeah, in 2013, I was about 14. Yeah, I think it was more like 2014. So let's say 15.
Mm-hmm. Okay, wow. That's wow.
Yeah, for me, I actually learned how to do graphic design and all these things. Like, I learned as a way to make quick cash because I was looking for ways in which I could, like, survive. You know how they say it goes. So then I found out I could flip flyers and posters for 50 CDs and things. I was like, hey, okay, this sounds like it's interesting. And then that's where things took off.
Mm-hmm. You sound like those people who used to do flyers for those parties we used to go for.
Yes.
I'm 100% sure you're a part. But anyways, diving into our first question. Where do you guys think currently the creative industry in Ghana, it is growing, as we all know. Right now, which position do you think the industry is at? in relation to smaller creators, not talking about the big dogs like the musicians and the actors, no, we're talking about smaller creators who are mostly in our age bracket or in the same like education phase in life as our age group. What do you guys think? Enjoyment, mommy.
Okay, I think it's still very, very new. We have seen an influx of many more creators in the past few years, but then I think it's still very new. Comparing it to a lot of things, looking at the proportion of people who use social media and then the people who actually actively create content in Ghana, and then looking at it in like other countries, I think we are really just taking the first step. A lot of people are discovering more and more that it's something they enjoy or it's something they could make money from. I feel like that's the biggest motivating factor for anyone who's trying to get into the digital content creation industry. But then, yes, I think it's still very, very new. There's a lot of room for growth and evolution and learning and advancement. So, yeah, that's what I think.
Mike?
All right, same thing. Like, I also think it's actually really, really, really still fresh. And I mean, since like the past 9 months, I've noticed there's been a huge influx of content creators all over. And I've realized a lot of lot of personal like people have decided to like come out of their shells and create something, like myself, because I've been creating content for businesses for as long as I can remember. But then every creative has this kind of like shy kind of, they don't want to be out there. But then it's like in the past couple of months in Ghana in particular, they've been like, people are more willing to share what they are working on and are less resistant to negative feedback. Are more resistant to the negative feedback.
I think
Go ahead.
I think another thing is a change in, more like, okay, maybe not a change, but like a new phase to the kind of creators that we have now. And so typically it was really just, you know, YouTube vloggers who do the regular, you know, day in my life and things like that. And then you have, let's say, the Instagram models who, you know, take nice pictures and post. But then now we are having like a new crop of creators. So like Michael is a good example, you know, creating content based on entrepreneurship and business tips. And then you have people who are looking more into like food blogging and things like that. And so I think it's like, as there are more people, there's a wider variety of content available.
I agree with everything guys have said. It definitely is. I've seen that in the last, Mike, even you said 9 months. I feel like in the last 3 months, I've seen a very great influx of creators. I know I've had about, over the last 3 months, I've had about 5 different bloggers in my DMs asking about how did I start this, all that fun stuff. So Enjoyment Mommy, your point about the variety of creators, I think I see more of a variety in the last 3 months, because I feel like over the course of the year, a lot of YouTubers have popped up out of nowhere. But now I'm starting to see more like bloggers, IGTV creators, podcast hosts, and it's very interesting. But currently, I know I kind of exempted the big dogs, but when you take smaller scale creators, I don't know if I should call them smaller scale creators, but people who are not in the music or film industry, we see that there are a certain set of people who are popular and like they dominate the industry. What do you think is the setback of having a type of fixed I don't want to say standard, but a fixed group of people that we know they've been on top and they're always going to be there, which is not a bad thing. But then I think we're starting to see a situation where it's harder for other people to join that group of top dogs because of how rigid that circle, not that circle, but then how rigid people are towards like opening up the circle to allow other people in. What do you guys think of that? I know that was kind of confusing.
my first answer to that is it though, like, is it really, really rigid and like not, you know, open to everybody? I feel like what social media has done, and it's interesting because my thesis is kind of like on something like this, and I was reading something yesterday, and it was basically talking about how, you know, social media celebrities now, let's call them that for the time being, are really, really much like, you know, TV stars and movie stars and all of that. They become celebrities because of the persona that is created around them. And so you would always have like Michael Jackson and Beyonce and Whitney Houston at the top because they are at the top. Like, you know, it's not like anyone is trying to pull them down and say like, hey, I want to share the stage with you or anything like that. But then I think what social media has done is it has opened up the opportunity to be a star to more people because, you know, it's becoming, social media becoming more accessible to people. But then I feel like it really boils down to, is it boils or boils? It really boils down to you and to you and like what you do, you know, like I don't think it's a very healthy thing to see people at the top aren't being open enough and allowing other people to like into the circle. I feel like maybe they aren't being generous in, say, the information that they have been able to gather over time, or they aren't being generous in like maybe supporting smaller creators in a way that would help them, you know, like progress in their career. But then I don't think it's a matter of like there's this circle that is being like, there are some gatekeepers of the top creators in, say, Ghana, for example, that are very picky and choosy about who they listen to their circle. That's what I think.
Okay, so my question was geared more towards the audiences than actual creators, because I know that, like, as a creator, you don't have control over, like, who chooses to watch you or not. So I'm talking more about, like, the audiences where, like, for example, you see that people people find Beyonce to be problematic in so many ways, but then she still has so many, I mean, it's the audience that empowers you. So not more of like the creators being gatekeepers, because I feel like it's the audiences that put them in that position, but then more of what is like the setback of like audiences being so concentrated on people who have made it to the top. What's the setback for people who are now entering the scene, the industry?
I think there's no like particular or direct answer to this. I feel like one advantage of social media is the way it gives us the control over the kind of content we consume, and sometimes even, well, now not so much the kind of content you come into contact with, but then I feel like it's really just a thing of human nature and familiarity. We like to stick to what we know and what we are used to, and so we become more apprehensive in trying out new things, unless, you know, there's like a certain buzz around you, and so all of a sudden like everyone is talking about Michael Lawson's IGTV videos, and then maybe people be like, okay, maybe let's see what this guy is about. But then typically it's really like, I don't know you and I don't think I want to give you the chance, so I'll just stick with what I know. And so I think then that comes in the thing of like the already popular creators providing a platform for the people who are new, so that it's like, okay, I follow Esla, I trust Esla's opinion, Esla says Selly is good, so let me see what Selly is doing, you know. But then otherwise, it's really just a thing of, it's human nature. I don't think there's so much of, yeah, I mean, that's not helpful to the new people because it's like, no one knows you. That means they're not going to watch you, which means no one will ever know you. But then I think it's really just human nature. We stay with what we know, and I don't think the same thing can do about that.
Mike, what do you think?
Okay, so I think before Sally went on, like, what I was thinking about, like, I was trying to understand your point. So I was thinking if you had, like, an example. I mean, here we can mention names, right? I mean, so I feel if you had an example of a situation or something that happened, so that maybe...
All right.
Like, detail, like, what was going on.
Okay, so, for example, you have... you're very good. I would call them creators like Dance God Lloyd, Incredible Ziggy in the dancing sector. They have your YouTubers like Amma Berland, who else is the YouTuber? Amma Governor. And then I don't know any popular bloggers. Wow. You have your popular bloggers like Amiel Deborah and Kwejo Sheldon, which, like, they're like. So then my point is, you have those people in the industry who, yes, we know they've made it and they have an audience. Now, for newer creators, in the beginning, it's going to be very hard to, like, because everybody has the goal of being up there. But then again, your audience, the audience controls, basically controls who becomes well-known and who doesn't. What do you think, what setback do you think that gives to the creators who are now entering the industry?
I mean, so the whole thing has to do with attention, right? Like, me, I see it all the time. And the big guys, or the people who started in, if I could see, they have all the attention.
Yeah.
They have all the attention, and they have the audience that you desire. And that's okay, right? But the problem I have with most upcoming or new creators is the same thing. Like, they feel so entitled to these big creators' support, and like, I don't know, it's like you feel like because they are big, they have to support the small, like the smaller. They don't have to do anything, right?
Yes,
like they legit don't have to do anything. You are the one who wants their audience, so you have to match up to them. And you see that, okay, so me, this thing happened to me quite recently. Like, I've not even really grown up, but people, like, legit want, like, my audience. So they ask, like, people send me DMs and asking me to, like, reshare their posts and things. And I tell them from the get-go, like, me, I don't share. If you tell me to share something, I'll not share it. Like, that's already the first block. Like, I'll not share it. I'll share what I want to share because it was valuable to me, or I feel like it's necessary for my people to, like, see. Right? But there's this entitlement that I feel like they have, which is not supposed to be there in the first place. But what do you guys
think? I agree. The whole point of this question is that I hope an upcoming creator is listening to this, but I wanted them to understand that it is not our top dogs who control their position in the creative industry. It is the audience. So no one is actually entitled to the audiences that other, like, no, like, you can't control, as you wish you could control it, but you can't. You just have to put out the best you can and hope for the best.
Exactly.
I don't know. Andromeda, what do you think?
Yeah, the entitlement bit is very, very interesting. And I feel like that's one vice of social media today. It has given everyone this, like, exaggerated sense of entitlement, and honestly, it annoys me so much.
Me too.
It honestly does, because I keep saying that, you know, there are a lot of things we do on social media that we typically wouldn't do if the person was standing right in front of you.
And oh yeah.
If I was, say, walking down the street, or let me use, like, if you saw John Dumelo walking down the street, right, you wouldn't just walk up to him and hand him a flyer and say, "Hi, please share this with everybody you come into contact with." If you walk up to him and he said, oh, I'm fine, thank you, I wouldn't do that. There's really nothing you could do. You'd really just say, oh, okay. I mean, you probably insult him in your head, but then you'd walk away and there's not much you can do. But when it comes to social media, people feel like you are really just pressing, like tapping something and then everybody sees it. And so there's not much, there's not a lot of work you are doing. And so they feel like it's just a share. Why can't you do that? But the thing is, it's also my platform. It's my audience. I have, you know, managed to grow because of the things that I create and put out on my platform. And so you are not entitled to my platform. You are not entitled to me posting your stuff on my platform to my audience. Like, you really did not purchase my platform anyway. And so... drop that sense of entitlement and do what has to be done. If I decide to post things, well, that's fine. That's okay. But then if I don't, that does not make me a bad person. And it's funny because I'm also thinking about like collaboration, because I've had certain people come up to me and say, oh, we'd like to work with you. But the truth of the matter is I don't want to work with you because generally brand is not something I would patronize. And people... sometimes people think of it like we're even doing you a favor, you know, it's like, but you crowd what's like, you're going to get free stuff, so why are you being this way? But the truth of the matter is, I'm not doing it for your free stuff. I am doing, I'm putting out my content to make my audience happy, and I don't, I wouldn't lie to them and display something that I typically would not buy just because you're going to pay me for it.
So, yeah, for sure.
Let me add.
Oh, go ahead.
Let me add. So, my entire point is two things. Like, with regard to this, it's two things. Like, first thing is how you approach these people is what matters. If it's two things. So, the first one is if you want to really get the attention of these people, like, I feel like the best way to go is to be of help to them. So, because for me, when I started Brainy Days, like that particular transition, there was so much happening, like with the company and then with clients and then with the Brainy Days. So like, there was even some way to even start. So the launch wasn't even too smooth, even though like it was crazy to everybody, but we were not out on all platforms. Right, like I was really struggling to find time to like set up our hosting with Libsyn properly, and like I couldn't, so I just launched this without it being on Google Podcast or so. And then there's this guy, I think he's from Algeria, he's my audience now, like, but he's a podcast guy. And he just sent me a DM. He was like, oh, he was checking my links and he realized the Google podcast was broken. And then he just sent me a short video of himself explaining like what I should do. In 30 seconds, it was done. Right? Like, and this is someone who had less than 50 followers. Like, he had like maybe like 37 at the time.
Wow.
And then since we launched the podcast, every single person that comes to me asking for like, who's my podcast guy or something, I always refer them to that guy first, because he legit helped me. Like, he was valuable to me at that point in time. So he has my audience attention. If anyone asks me, I'll just redirect them to that guy. And he's getting money. Like, he's making more money than he could have ever done just because he helped out, right? And so I feel like creators that want to enter this space, even if it's not help, become a fan of the person you want to become like. So, like, if the person posts, comments, like, don't ask for anything. Like, legit just give. If the person asks you to share something for him, share it. Don't ask for anything. Don't feel like you're entitled to do anything. And then the person, when you give to a point, the scale will tip in their in your favor. And then now the person will feel like, oh, this guy has been around commenting on all my things. Let me reach out and see if I can actually help the person. It can happen or it cannot. But you have to be fine with that.
And that's okay.
I personally can say that if you decide to humble yourself and submit, you'll be surprised at the people who actually like help you. Like, I remember one time there's this one YouTuber that like I was fangirling over, and one day she shared my IGTV post and I was happy. That day I got a lot of followers, a lot of views, and I didn't go up to her and was like, oh, can you share this, blah, blah. And I've not done that before either, but then out of her own will, she did share it. And I think the whole summary of this entire part of the conversation is for incoming or new creators to understand that the industry is still a growing industry, and that instead of forcing your content onto audiences and other creators, you need to go with the flow and be patient, because it takes time. It really takes time to get there.
That feeds
into, but yeah, moving into our next question, because I feel like we can talk about this the whole episode. But has the creative industry contributed to the overall development of the country? I don't know how I can clarify this question, but again, subtracting the film and music industry, well, actually, let's take the music industry and take our smaller musicians and just adding all the YouTubers, the bloggers, everyone else. How has the newly expanding creative industry contributed to the overall development of the country, if it has at all?
I can answer the question on this one.
Okay. So how it has affected the economic industry, like the economic landscape of Ghana or like the world.
I think we can start with how it has affected Ghana in particular, economically, socially, politically even.
Okay. All right. So, and you want to use musicians or you want to use content creators in general?
We can use content creators in general, but like we're open to, I keep on taking on the film and music industry because those are the two most booming creative industries in Ghana. But then I think now we're seeing like a lot of smaller creators who are actually like, they're good. So
yeah,
we can put the music industry in.
All right. So the entire thing for me, what I see with regards to the economic impact, I mean, in the past, the media houses used to handle everything. Like, they choose which books get published, which shows, the labels decided which music gets out there and all. But over time, that barrier has been, like, it's not there anymore. So now the market decides, like, the audience actually gets to pick who they want to be, like, out there, or who they want to, like, give their attention to, right? And so...
Mm-hmm.
With the way content creation has like more or less like boomed, if I can say boomed in Ghana, it has allowed for many people to love what they do and to like be open about it, to share. So the economic impact for them or for like other, if I could say, let me even target the businesses, it has like it opened the whole influencer marketing bit to being more broad, because first they had to target celebrities, right? Mm-hmm. Like if you have a business and you want to reach a certain audience, you have to go and pay an actor or a musician to probably take a photo in your shirt, your company shirt or something. But now it has opened the floor for small and medium sized businesses to also access influencer markets, which in my opinion can be really, really like more, like it's even more effective, because if you sell looking at your small, relatively small audience, still really large, but relatively small audience where they all genuinely love you and your content. If I was to invest in you like as an influencer, I know that your audience is really going to patronize you. Like there's going to be a larger proportion of them that will really patronize you, as compared to me spending big money to hire Jackie Appiah, who I'm not too sure her audience all like her today in 2020.
Yeah.
It has like opened floor for the small to medium sized businesses to really go big on influencer marketing. And it's working. Like TikTokers are making a lot of money in the US, like influencers, people that started from nothing in March and now have like a million followers are making so much money with these small to medium sized businesses. So yeah, that's what I think on the economic side. I think Sally should add a bit to that if you can.
And before I say what I was actually going to say, the research has actually proven that smaller influencers tend to get bigger, like more deals, because they have a relatively more engaged audience. Yeah. And so, I feel like, and that's a conversation for another day about numbers and things like that. But then, yes, it definitely has given both smaller influencers and smaller businesses, like, you know, job opportunities. I think one way in which the digital content creation industry is helping Ghana is kind of like putting Ghana on the map even more than than it already was. And I'm talking more like in terms of the media and also like connectivity. And so you have more people, like more than half of the world is online now on social media. And so having a digital content creation industry gives you the opportunity to reach more people at a faster rate and for more like different reasons. It's not just, you know, the UN and ECOWAS and, you know, politics and things of the sort. Now it's so many things. There's fashion, there's you have writers, you have video makers. It's really just given us the opportunity to reach a larger audience, which in turn boosts the economy, because now you're having Ghanaians making money and contributing to the growth of the economy. There's more money in the system. Mm-hmm. The system is working, let's say. And so, it's really just giving us opportunity to, it's given us more job opportunities, if I should put it, you know, and it's also given us a larger audience. More people know Ghana now because of social media. There are people who had absolutely no idea of where Ghana was, but now because of some content creator that they stumbled upon, say, a month ago, they've suddenly become very curious because they are fangirling her, and now they want to know what her country is like. And then next thing you know, they're very, very huge stands might actually plan a trip to Ghana because they are hoping that they would coincidentally meet their favorite TikToker or something, you know. And so it's really just giving us the opportunity to reach a larger audience for so many things, because now people are traveling to Ghana. Look at Dirty December, for example. Mm-hmm. More people come to Ghana even more than before. I mean, I feel like Ghana has always been one of the like buzzing places in December, but then social media and content creators have kind of like propelled that, and so you have more people coming to Ghana because of that. So yeah, it's definitely playing a huge role in so many things, and not just the fact that it's putting like more people know about Ghanaians, but then it's given us the opportunity to expand all other industries, from tourism to food to music. Yeah, it's big.
And I definitely think, first of all, is Dirty December happening this we're in December already. Is it happening because corona?
Yeah. I'd be surprised. I mean, I hear people are still traveling and coming, so let's see. That sounded like such a bad
literally thing. Sounded like but I definitely think that you guys are both spot on. What is the problem that smaller creators face currently in our climate? Is there a social or economic limitation to being a creator in Ghana? So basically, like, what are your everyday problems as creators in Ghana? And do you think other people face economic or social limitations? Because I was discussing this with some friends in school, but I've realized that out of some in other African countries like Nigeria or Ethiopia, there's more of a cultural/religious separation within the country. Whereas in Ghana, I see more of an economic and social division in how our country operates. I could be wrong because also I don't currently live there, but I'm just going based off of my past experiences and comparing it to theirs. What do you guys think?
I feel like it's okay. Personally, I feel like it's a difficult answer. It's a difficult question to answer because I don't have a lot of perspective on, say, challenges. I can't say that from my personal experience. There are certain challenges that have, you know, hindered me and stopped me from being the kind of creator that I want to be. I feel like a lot of the things that are holding me back, in quotes, are things that are, to some extent, well within my control. This kind of takes me back to the question you asked. More like what you said before about the government giving more attention to, you know, like this part of the creative industry. Personally, I do not know what exactly it is that the government would do that would propel the industry and take it into the direction that we want it to. Because looking at a lot of the countries where people are able to monetize digital content much in an easier way, I don't see how the government plays a role in that. I don't see necessarily any certain infrastructure or policies that are put in place that enable you as a content creator to make money faster than the person in Ghana, for example. So it's difficult to say that yes, there are these setbacks. I mean, you would have people in certain areas who have a hard time, say, getting connectivity to the internet and things of this sort, but I feel like that is, I mean, connectivity to internet and whatever is really just a general problem for people in certain areas and not so much specific to people in the digital content creation industry. So for me, I think it's difficult to answer because, one, I don't think I have experienced any particular challenges that I feel are widespread and homogeneous to everybody else in the industry. And two, I don't see what exactly it is that anybody else outside of you, the creator, could do that would either massively propel or pull you back in your career.
So then it's more of a individual case-by-case situation. Because I'm not really looking at what the government can do, because also here in the U.S., the only thing I know that the government... Well, I probably need to educate myself more, but I know that there are a lot of laws in place to protect your work or protect your rights as an independent business, I should say. But then I'm speaking more of a personal level, but then I guess it makes sense that it's based on each individual. Mike, what do you think?
Same thing, Sally said. In the past, as I said before, these content was actually regulated by these institutions. But with the internet being on our phones now, the internet is on your phones and laptop, if you legit 24/7, you have legit no boundary. There's no boundary to put content out now. The external, economic, social, maybe social, if you talk about Ghana, maybe religion would play a role in some countries as well. Because then I know religion plays a huge factor, even though it's personal. Some places Iraq and some places, even in India, they can't post certain things because serious lawsuits and all. But in Ghana, I feel like there's actually no hindrance, external pressure. Everything is internal. Everything that barrier is gone, but people are still not putting out the content they want because of the barriers in their mind.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I was gonna say that I don't think there's any institutional barrier. So forget say just the government, but then any form of institution that makes it difficult for you, the individual creator, to put out the kind of content you want to make. Because now our conversations in society are becoming much more diverse. People are being much more honest about the things they want to talk about, the things they want to do. Yeah, you'll probably get some heat, but then, I mean, heat didn't kill anybody. you know, and so I feel like I don't think that, say, 10 out of 15 creators get up each day and be like, oh, this is the reason why I am not where I want to be. You know, I don't think that there's anything we could all collectively point at and say, this is the reason why the industry isn't where it is, where it should be.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because I guess I was also looking at, like, not institutions in place that, like, hinder people from being creators, but just like the nature of our country in general. Because if we're being very honest, not everybody in Ghana is privileged to have access to like the things that we, our parents, can pay for. So then I guess I was thinking more of like people who they want to be in the creative industry, but because of their position in life, they can't. So I guess, yes, again, that's more of an individual based thing. I've come across some people who have expressed to me that, like, because of this and this and that, they are not able to do this, which is not at all related to the government or anything. It's just their life circumstances. But moving on to the next question, what are some negative and positive trends that are currently present in the creative industry, if there are any trends in particular? I know this question was inspired off of something that happened earlier this summer, where a negative trend we were seeing in social media here in the U.S. was performative activism. So all of a sudden, everybody was part of the LGBTQ, or they were using a pride flag because it was trendy and not because they really understood that these people are being oppressed. So do we see any positive or negative trends like that in our industry as of now, if we can be specific, and if we know of any?
Okay, so with regards to positive trends, I mean, I've seen the support. Like, I've seen people like doing more, like supporting each other, like content creators supporting each other, encouraging each other, doing more collaborations. Like, I've seen that, which I think is a really good trend. And I mean, like, it's social media, right? Let's get socializing. You get me? I told when Esla reached out to me about this podcast, I told her,
I know,
she almost didn't have to ask. Like, me, I'm legit a yes guy. Someone from India, he reached out to me like last week saying he wants to plan a collaboration, something. So I said, Charlie, I'm inside. He added me to or like, you have to become a, like, you legit have to say yes to everything, because you don't have anything. Like, you don't have anything to lose. Like, if someone wants to collaborate with you, maybe if the person's values are different from yours, like, yes, maybe you have to tell them that, like, I actually don't agree with what you're doing, and like, I feel like we don't match. But hardly does that happen, because then people want people who they want to be like to work with. So I feel like the collaborations and the support is really good in the Ghanaian content industry. Thumbs up. I can't really remember any negative things. So do you have any negative or positive things?
If there are no negatives, I think that's very good.
I can actually think of a negative, but then before that, I think I would have to disagree to some extent to what Michael said prior about, like, being a yes man, because I feel like that's a very dangerous thing for the upcoming people. I feel like it can easily cloud their judgment and make them hop into things that they really, really shouldn't be a part of. Not because maybe it contradicts their values or anything like that, but then just like looking at the fact that you're human and you could burn out, and then end up signing up to all these collaborations and partnerships, and really you should be giving yourself like a break and, you know, cutting yourself some slack. But then otherwise, yes, I feel like the support in recent times has really, really, really improved, because this even just between
internet,
because you know, it's like,
wait, can you go back? You cut out when you started with, you remember between then and now? I don't, yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was saying that I remember, like, between, I'm saying, like, even comparing the support, like, the level of support in me to, like, the level of support now, I feel like there has been a drastic improvement, because earlier on, like, we used to have conversations about how, you know, it's so difficult to get people to, like, even just have a conversation about working together in the future and things like that. So, yes, support is definitely on a high, and we love to see it. The negative for me, I feel like, is following trends blindly. And so, I mean, first of all, the problem with following trends is that it will die and you will lose your relevance. And so that means that you're going to have to constantly hop on trends to stay relevant. And then you're not able to build a solid identity for yourself, because everyone really just knows you to be the one who's trending on the most popular hashtags. But then at the same time, I feel like the other problem with that is when we copy blindly, we tend to not adapt the situation to suit our climate or our audience. And so, like, and I remember I was having a conversation with my friend sometime. We're talking about, like, fashion hauls and how everybody was doing a fashion haul now. And the problem with that was, it wasn't so much of a problem, but it was really just a way they were trying to imitate exactly the same thing that they had seen other YouTubers do. And so it's almost as if they have watched this video and that they've almost, like, memorized it to the last bit. And they're like, I'm going to do the exact thing. And so their intro is probably the same. The way they comment on the clothes are probably the same, you know, and it doesn't feel authentic. It doesn't feel like you are talking to the right people. It's like, I'm not the person who's supposed to be watching this. I'm not the person this video was intended for. And I feel like when people tend to do that, like, especially with, like, I feel like this is most prevalent with YouTubers. When you have, like, all these, you know, question tags and this challenge and things like that, I feel like we could be more creative with the way we implement these things and, like, do these things. You could definitely adapt it to suit, like, the setting of Ghana, for example. And so if you're doing, like, fashion hauls, you could probably try and do, like, more Ghanaian-owned, you know, clothing lines, or, you know, just incorporate something that is unique to you and, like, the demographic that you appeal to. So, yeah.
So let me just
go ahead.
Another, like, negative came, and that's actually what you spoke about with regards to, like, being a yes person. So just to, like, add to it, that's me. Like, that's me. Like me, I like operating. Like, everybody knows that me, I'm hands-on. Like, I like doing plenty things, like, moving all around. Like, that's me. And I realized that most creators are not self-aware. Like, they legit don't know themselves.
Like, tell me about it.
You don't know. So you can see, like, someone is legit. I mean, I encourage, like, trying things. Like, trying, if you want to do a podcast, like, try it. Do it for a while and see that it's not for me. And accept that it's not for you. Than to just, like, how do I say, like, just, like, wing it. Like, yeah, this YouTuber is doing the same thing. Let me also do the same thing and see. We can legit see that you are struggling, but you know you are struggling too, but you are still doing it. And that's like, if you do that for a long time, you will burn out. Like, you will burn out, your content will become stale, and people can see through that. So self-awareness is key. That's one thing I realized that plenty of people don't have. Like, and another thing is also authenticity. I hate saying the word authentic. Like, I legit hate it, because now it's going around too much.
So it's, I said, everywhere.
I would rather say
honest. Like, mm-hmm. being honest with yourself, like, being honest with your content and everything. Like, be you. Like, I want you to be you. I realize mm-hmm. some people have, like, a problem with becoming content creators and being themselves because they've more or less, like, painted different versions of themselves to different people. So, like, they are some way with their family. They are some way with their school friends. They are some way with their house friends. Like, they have different parts of themselves. So, they can't mm-hmm. pick one and publicize that. So, just being honest and being yourself is key. Like, if you're yourself, you hardly struggle to do things. You hardly struggle to be on a podcast. Right? You will not struggle, especially if you are being yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no pressure.
I love how the conversation of negative and positive trends actually led us back to a little bit of our first question, but a deeper part of that question, which hits on, like, what do you do as a creator that cripples you? And Mom, you're right on point. One of the negative trends is following trends. If you just hop on every single trend that comes, then you just, like, we don't understand you as a brand. Like you said, when we think about you, we think about, oh, trending on, like, the hot hashtags, but then it's like, who are you? What is your brand? Are you just, like, creating for creation's sake? I mean, we get that some people do create for entertainment, but then at the end of the day, like, what am I actually, like, learning from you beyond the entertainment? And I think that's one thing with media consumption today, is that a lot of people are just consuming media and not, like, gaining anything from some of the things they're consuming. So that was definitely a good point. And a positive trend of collaborations, we love to see it. I mean, is this a good time to plug the Creative Circle? I think so. Yes, we're plugging the Creative Circle. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure, why not? Okay, so if you follow me on Instagram, at some point you heard that I had a baby. And the baby was the Creative Circle. The Creative Circle is basically a community for Ghanaian content creators in and out of Ghana. I feel like I have memorized this thing now. But we basically... we basically aim at creating a community where Ghanaian digital content creators, and so from IGTV video creators to graphic designers, even if you create content for your business, you're still a content creator. And so we just want to create a community where we can share ideas, network, you know, work with each other, help each other, and just expose the world to more of Ghanaian content. And so, yeah, if you're interested in knowing what we're about, follow us on Instagram at the Creative Circle. Is that underscore? I don't remember. But then if you type the Creative Circle, you definitely find us.
Yeah, you'll find it. And Mike, I've been dying to ask you this, but what are your, because I feel like you're, like, the experts on everything content creation, or just, I don't know, I just feel like you're an expert in the industry. I don't know. But what are your thoughts on the Creative Circle?
I think it's I think it's a really good initiative.
Don't come and be sweet talking us because we are here.
That's such an honest question.
No, but I honestly have my thoughts. Like, I would honestly like to see more video. Like, I feel like video connects more, and you are looking for deeper connections. So I think video, if we get more video, like me, I'd be super pumped. I don't know how you do it, to be honest, but you guys are video freaks. You guys will be able to do it. Besides that, I think it's all right. Like, and maybe featuring some, like, creatives, all of that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think you guys are on the right path. Like, I know you do all of this. I know it's in the plans. I'm just talking from your plan book.
Oh, okay. I don't come in sweet talkers because co-founders are here, so you don't want to be. But yeah, we definitely have some stuff in the pipeline, and you're just gonna have to follow us to see. So moving on to the last question, because we are almost running out of time, but where do you see the industry in the next 2 years? And how do you think we will get there?
Wow.
I know I asked 2 years because I know everybody's talking about the next 5 years, and I feel like this year alone, we've seen so much change in the last few months that in the next 2 years, there could be a very significant change in the industry. So where do you guys see the industry in the next 2 years, and how will we get there? If you do know at all.
Yeah, so you go.
Honestly, I'm having such, I mean, all I can say is that I know there'll be more creators. I cannot even begin to picture what it would look like in 2 years, genuinely. I just know there'll be a lot more creators, a lot more variety in the kind of content that we see. So it's definitely going to be like mad levels of creativity, because one thing I have really, really come to learn, especially in this year of creativity, is that Ghanaians are super creative people. Super, super creative. Like, we have such wild ideas that I have probably never seen anywhere. And it really makes me happy. And I am excited to see, like, you know, I'm excited to see certain people push their limits and see how much more they can, you know, grow from where they already are at right now. How we'll get there, I think it's a lot of support, really. A lot of support, a lot of learning. Just being open to working with people and hearing what they have to say about your work. Critique is difficult to, you know, listen to, but I feel like it's important. And so if we're all just open-minded and ready to learn and grow and get better, we would definitely be at an entirely different place in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mike, what about you?
Same thing. Like, yeah, there'll be a lot of people doing content. I still feel like the rates will reduce because like the influx, like this year was not normal, right? So because of the sudden lockdown and people were bored, and then the new TikTok, like relatively new TikTok, so then there was this huge influx of like creators all over. And then Instagram also started Reels with huge organic reach, so people then started doing more Instagram as well. And Instagram has tried to stay relevant, and they have, so I think they'll still be dominating, like in a bit, like in a way, in the next 2 years. 2 years is not too long.
I feel like
the creators that don't stop, that legit are patient enough to see those 2 years to the very end, 2 years from now, if you don't stop whatever it is you are doing, if you don't, like, if you keep learning, keep tweaking things, I think in 2 years you'd have a very, 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 very huge audience on whichever platform you decided to choose.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, like, willing to put in the work. And I feel like how we are going to get there is patience.
Yes.
Like, that's it. Like, work, patience. Like, one day at a time. It's hard. It's a grind, but, like, Charlie, patience.
Oh, my God.
It needs.
Patience is what's going to set the people who win in 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
From, because to be some way, if you started, right, like you say, 2020, like I started doing something to do 2022, and you say, oh, Charlie, I stopped one day. I said, oh, next week, 2 years. It's not nice, you know?
Right. Thank you guys so much for being on today's episode. You can follow Enjoyment Mommy on Instagram at @enjoymentmommy_ and also on Twitter at @enjoymentmommy_.
Yep.
And you can follow Mike Lawson at @TheMikeLawson on Instagram and @TheMikeLawson_ on Twitter. Thank you so much for being on today's episode, and have a good rest of your day.
You too, Ursula. Thank you so much for having me.
Wait, you... Sammy says you can't hear me anymore.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Olu one, I comfort me. When these people, they come body me. Man, I thank God, I got the lead. Say God, no, I'm got the lead. Olu one, I comfort me. When these people, they come body me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of A Penny and a Peswa. You can stream episodes of A Penny and a Peswa on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review of 5 stars. Catch you on the flip side.
Make I play you my cassette, you. Anything you sell is a market, you. Try to they look from my aspect, you. If they loud, that my day and set, you. Me and Ophi drag is shine. Olua nah, be my country down. Me and no they try to connect the light. I just want Charlie Boy Day, me Charlie Boy Day. Man, I thank God I got the lead. Say God no, I'm got the lead. Olua nah, comforting me. When these people, they come body me. And I thank God I got the lead. Say God no, I'm got the lead.